It's good to see all of you here and to have you in the sanctuaries we have come to worship. We want to welcome those who are participating online and ask that they would make some comment about their being in our watchful audience so that we might count them in our attendance. It's good to have all of you here. I'm afraid that you might have bought into this idea that there's going to be a great sermon this morning. I'm still waiting for that person who's going to preach that to show up. So, you know, if they come, let me know, and we'll usher them right on up into the pulpit. Several announcements this morning. We have a Mother's Day rose sale now in progress. There is a pink form for you to fill out. There may be other information around as well. The tornado buckets that you see to my right and to my left on either side of the chancel area is for your benefit and will be used in emergencies. There is a list of items needed to be placed in the bucket, or you can share that list with one or two other people, or you can get any item on that list and put it in a red tub. There are red tubs scattered around the building for that purpose. So May the 20th is the deadline for the tornado buckets. Do remember John Floyd and Denise. John had surgery this week, and the surgery went very well. He is recuperating. And then Louis Loveman was in the hospital and is at home and is doing much better. There are others on our prayer list. Please remember them during the week as you pray. Any other announcements that need to be made? Okay. If not, then let us pray. Thank you, God, for another opportunity to come together as a community of faith. And we pray that we would be aware that you're very much a part of our gathering here this day, and that your love and grace surrounds us, and that that you are our God and we are your children, and we thank you. Now bless us as we have come together. Bless us through our music and through our time together, through our sharing, through our contemplation of the scripture for our lives, and through our fellowship. Thank you, God, for all your love and grace and for the gift of this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning. Daddy was a preacher. She was his wife. Just trying to make the world a little better, you know, shine a light. People started talking just to hear their own voice. Those people tried to accuse my father, said he made the wrong choice. And though it might be painful, you know, time will always tell. Those people have lost. Since gone, my father never failed. Even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water. Even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I'm washed by the water. Even when the earth crumbles under my feet, even when the ones I love turn around and crucify me, I won't ever ever let you down. I won't fall, I won't fall, I won't fall as long as you're around. Even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water. when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water, even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes. Even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water.
As Bob is preparing to do the sermon this morning, if you would take an attendance pad and make note of your presence this day. Bob.
The Alleluia offering that we had recently was started several years ago, not only to fund special projects, but to also emphasize the importance of tithing. We were challenged at that time to tithe on our income during Holy Week above and beyond our regular giving. I remember thinking that first year, wow, if we did this every week, we would have a budget of over $1.5 million, and the ministries and the things that the church could do with that money would be just astounding. This year's Alleluia offering not only exceeded last year's, but was also the second largest giving since we began. The total this year is $31,571. This offering will be used to fund a retreat for this year's confirmation class, which I understand is, I think, 15 people, youth. And it's going to allow enhancements in our worship services and to fund new ministries. On behalf of the church and the generosity team, I want to say a thank you for your generosity and your giving to support the ministries and needs of the church. I also want to challenge each of you to consider not only tithing during Holy Week, but make it a priority all year long. Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful report, Bob. And thank you for your support and your giving to this community of faith. Let's bow our heads for our prayer. As we gather here as your community of faith in this place, O God, we come to celebrate your goodness in our lives. We come to celebrate what you have taught us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to celebrate the love you have given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to celebrate the mission that you have called us to through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray now that as we come to this place, we will come with great thanksgiving, for you have been merciful to us. You have been kind and gracious and loving. We thank you for another opportunity to be your church in this place. We thank you for opportunities to serve in the community. We thank you for opportunities to share our faith and to share our love with one another. And we pray that your Spirit would guide us in our activities, that your Spirit would guide us in our response to your love, that your Spirit would guide us through service to you, that we might honor you and worship you with whatever we do. We pray now that you would continue to guide us, not only in this service, but throughout this coming week, that we would grasp the opportunities to serve, that we would share our faith, that we would love one another and others outside our community. We pray for those who have very special needs at this time, that your Spirit of healing and wholeness would be upon them, that your love for them would be their source of peace and strength. We pray that you would guide us not only in this service, but throughout our lives. May we respond with gratitude, with simple obedience, with appreciation that you are our God and that we are your children. We pray now that as we receive our offerings this morning, we would give with great joy, knowing of the many blessings you have poured out upon us. Bless our gifts and those who give, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And now the children may go with Miss Catherine, if they haven't already gone, to Children's Church. There she is. All right.
No matter where I go, I don't need to worry now.
You're fine. I'm just going to read one verse from John, the 15th chapter, and it is the first. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Thank you for letting us be a part of the community of faith. We are especially grateful for the young people who are going through the confirmation class as they prepare to become active members and participants in the community of faith in new ways, in ways of service and loyalty and trust and loving each other and the community. So we remember those who are a part of this class, Anna Kate, Ava, Emily, Haley, Iris, Jace, Jade, Kennedy, Lydia, Maddie, Maggie, Maya, Miko, Merritt, Sarah, and Sarah Kate. As we go through this service, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, I want to talk this morning a little bit about what life on the vine, which is a metaphor for our relationship to Christ and our relationship to one another. I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about a little horticulture. So I'm not an expert on that, but I'll give a little bit of experience with growing grapevines on my own. But as we think about life on the vine, I want us to realize that people, we need to come to an understanding of what we think about that. You know, what is our image or images of being in relationship with Christ? You know, many of us have pretty specific images of what life lived in a relationship with Christ is all about. And one of the ideas that we have, maybe not about ourselves, but about others, is that those who are connected to the vine never have difficulty sharing their faith. In a heartbeat, they speak eloquently of their faith and walk with Jesus in ways that move and convert others. They're never embarrassed if asked what they believe and never shy or reluctant to answer. Is that you? That's not always me. But what do others outside the community think, other than the people who are looking with a critical eye and saying, do you in fact practice loving one another in the community, or do you practice something else, far inferior? Do you practice what you preach? Do you walk the walk? Do you talk the talk? Well, sometimes people on the outside think that we Christians constantly communicate with God. Christians understand what happens to them every day and at least have the faith to graciously accept whatever comes. Followers do not have doubts and are never afraid, right? They have absolute confidence that they are in God's hands and God will take care of them no matter what. And when they pray at night, they hear God speaking directly back to them. Well, another popular belief is that those living on the vine encounter worship as a meaningful service. They leave the church and go out and act on whatever the preacher says. I'm sorry. Hopefully some of that happens, but I don't know how much. They believe every word of the Apostles' Creed. They have a spiritual experience whenever they receive Holy Communion. The faithful are never bored, disagreeable, or feel left out. They have a steadfast sense of belonging to God and to one another. Well, I think we have just described more or less perfect Christians. And I'm not one of those. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not you are. But I'm not one of those. So what do we think about ourselves then as being members of the vine, being branches on the vine, being a member of the community of faith? Have we placed our goals, spiritual goals, so high that we're never going to achieve them? Do you not pray enough or share the faith enough or read and study enough? Are you not knowledgeable enough or enthusiastic enough or certain enough about what you believe? Whatever it is, please stop. Because behind those thoughts is this idea that we have to work and be perfect enough to belong to the body of Christ. And we do not belong to the body of Christ. We are not branches on the vine because of what we do or who we are. We are there because we are loved by God, and for no other reason. What are we really like as Christians? I've given us kind of the ideal picture of what some people may think Christians are like, but let's talk about what we are really like. Chances are the way that we believe is valiant on some days and pitiful on other days. That we have enough faith to move mountains on some occasions. And other days we can't even muster enough faith to get out of bed. One Christian says that she has a deep and abiding faith in God that comes and goes. Another Christian declares, "I believe in God frequently." And still another confesses that she sometimes feels like she's in the audience when Paul is preaching to the Athenians and worshiping an unknown God. So we struggle. We are not perfect branches. We are not perfect followers. Bob is a priest in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he tells the story of the morning after he returned from a casillo in Arkansas. A casillo is like an Emmaus walk in the United Methodist Church. And so he prays in the elevator that morning, going up to his office, asking God to put someone in his life that day that he can share the faith with, that he can encourage, that he can be a part of their Christian life. And so the elevator door opens and he walks off the elevator, and immediately one of his office workers approaches him with a great spiritual crisis. And Bob looks at him and says, "I'm sorry, I've been away this weekend and I'm behind in my work. You'll have to come back later." So much for elevator prayers. I'm usually praying that the elevator will simply operate as it's supposed to and get me where I'm going without any hitches. But Bob's elevator prayer was more lofty, and yet, as lofty as it was, he failed miserably. We struggle. We struggle as Christian people. We don't have all the answers. We don't know sometimes what it's like to live without doubt and uncertainty. Sometimes we experience the tragedy of life and we don't know what to say or what to do or where to go. If we read the Bible, we become aware that, hey, we are not the first to feel these things, to experience life in such a way. that people from Adam and Eve to Jesus and his followers to Paul and beyond also have doubts and about their relationship to God and what God is calling them to do. Some days we are as firm in our faith as the apostles. Some days we are as clueless in our faith as the apostles. Some days we're like tired branches producing overripe fruit. That means that we live on the vine not because we are certain of God, but because God is certain of us. And no one, no action can take us off this vine. So we need to be patient with ourselves, and we need to be patient with one another. So what is life on the vine really like? Well, it's like being so loved by the vine grower who creates us and cares for us out of the extravagance of his love. The vine grower loves us before we were born and loves us through all eternity. And that he has given us a divine connection to that vine. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Each branch is connected to the vine. And by this connection, we become centered in God and the carrier of the love of Christ. But a vine does not just grow vertically, it also grows horizontally to each other. Christ is the vine, giving himself to the branches, helping them grow and provide fruit. And we are dependent upon him. The vine, Christ, also is a means of our interdependence and our connection with each other and with the community. You know, we are born needing to connect each other. We need one another. We depend on others in order to survive and to do well in life. And that's the way that it is in our Christian commitment. We depend upon others to provide guidance and encouragement and challenge. We need to belong to a community. And there are all kinds of little communities within the greater community here. There's Men at the Well Bible Study, Sherry's Bible Study, Harriet's Bible Study. There's United Women of Faith. There's the Clothes Closet, Ladle of Love Soup Kitchen, Choir, Youth Ministry, Children's Ministry, Sunday School Class, Exercise Group, Volunteer Receptionist, Ushers, Greeters, and much more. We don't have to go out and invent something. These little communities are available to give us care and concern and challenge us in our growth. We are cared for by the love of Christ as we are branches on this vine. We are cared for by the love of Christ and the lives of each other as we try to prosper on this vine. But let's relax a minute. Let's not get uptight about all of this. After all, there's nothing that we can do to lose connection on the vine. We can do nothing to make God love us more, and we can do nothing to make God love us less. And that ought to free us, not to do whatever we want, but to realize that no matter what, no matter who we are, no matter what we've achieved, no matter what we have failed at, God still loves us. But if I'd read on in the text this morning, if I'd read the whole text, we would have run across some words that seem rather harsh and condemning. What about unproductive branches? What happens to them? It may not be what we might think, simply because we need to look at the text in the original languages, Greek. And there's a Greek word here, ari, which means lifts up or takes away. but it never means cut off. So, how are we to know which translation to take, to use? Well, you go to the vine dresser and ask them what they do with unfruitful branches and what is it they do. Grapevines, if left unattended, will grow along the ground, and the branches will grow out and rest on the ground and begin to grow little roots into the soil. But these little roots are not capable of producing great fruit. They produce little bitty sour grapes that are useless. And so when a vine dresser comes along and he sees branches lying on the ground, what does he do? Well, he knows that they do not need to draw their nourishment from the soil, but from the vine. For the vine has great roots and is able to nourish all the branches, whereas the branches are totally dependent on the vine in order to exist and produce. So what does he do? He lifts the branch up off the ground and supports it in the air and puts it on a trellis or a lattice so that then the branch has to depend upon the vine for its nourishment, for its very life. And therefore, it will produce great clusters of grapes, sweet clusters of grapes. So what does it mean to aerate an unfruitful plant? Well, far from taking it away and cutting it off, the word depicts the tender and loving care of the Father on us. He wants us to produce more fruit, and you don't produce more fruit by cutting off branches, but by taking those branches and making sure they get the nourishment where the source of nourishment is, through the vine. It shows how much God loves us and tenderly takes care of us so that we can be productive people. No vine dresser in the world would immediately cut off unproductive branches, for then the vine dresser would never get any fruit. For all branches are unproductive from time to time. Similarly, God the vine dresser, rather than cutting us off when we don't produce fruit, lifts us up. Lifts us up so that we can bask in the light of his love and get nutrients from the vine. So, my dear leafy friends, as we are connected to this vine, the risen Christ runs through our blood like sap, nurturing a plant, running through the community, giving our new and old branches more fruit than we could ever imagine. In this world that is so hungry and so thirsty, what could be better than being a living branch attached to the vine of love, fed and cared for by Christ and each other? What could be better? So relax, my friends, and be the branches you were intended to be, drawing nourishment from the vine of love in Christ Jesus, that your lives might be productive. We still won't have all the answers. We still won't go through all of our life without a little fear, a little doubt. But we will go through life with the certainty of God's love for us. And that's what matters the most. Amen. Amen. we go from this place, be very much aware that there are those who mourn. Let us mourn with them. That there are those who celebrate. Let us celebrate with them. That there are those who are confused and doubtful. Let us be their stay and their strength. Go in peace to be God's people in this community. And go in the strength of His love. Amen. Amen.